Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Man, Tay got a guitar and a tambourine. He means business. So funny, Marjorie picked that song tonight because it says, you know, sing with me, how great. And then look at my message tonight. Sing, no matter what. Huh? I know we did not plan it. That's amazing. When I sing, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so amazing how God works. Sing, no matter what. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16. We're going to see where two of the apostles, they gets in trouble again. You know, they always getting in trouble in the book of Acts because, I don't know, they're preaching Jesus, and nobody likes that. So they're always getting arrested or getting stoned to death or getting ran out of town or getting talked about or getting brought before the council. Well, they get in trouble again, and God, again, makes a way. Do you know God will always make a way for you? Because he is the way. Only Margie believes that tonight. God will make a way for you. Always God will make a way for you. We may not see it, may not know it, but God will make a way. So we have to sing no matter what. We sing his praises no matter what we're seeing, what we're feeling, because we know who God is and he doesn't change. Our lives change, our seasons change, our circumstances change, but God doesn't. So I'm going to sing to you, Lord. I'm going to sing praises to your holy name. How awesome are you, God, in this place. This place is what counts. He's awesome in this place, in my life, in my heart. And so I'm going to sing no matter what. Acts chapter 16, we'll begin with verse 16, just to pick it up. And starts out by saying, I am in Jeremiah. That's not going to work. Hang on. Here we go. Wow. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. Now, divination means that she foresaw the future and could tell future events, but it wasn't in a prophetic way spiritually. She was working for the devil. And she brought her masters. She was a slave girl that worked for these people, and she would tell fortunes, and they would give money, so she made her masters money. So she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This same woman, in verse 17, followed Paul and us, talking about Silas, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now that sounds all good, but just hang on a minute. Verse 18, this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Now we read this thinking, okay, so what? I don't know, James and Joe, they're preaching the word and jewels fall around. Listen to the people of God. Listen to the man of God. Listen to the man of God. What? Sounds good, right? It's the only way to salvation. I mean, that's not Jewel's voice at all. I know that. But she's crying out. Well, two things are happening here. Paul, number one, knew the Spirit wasn't right. Because the devils believe in God, right? And tremble, the Bible says. So we understand the devil can duplicate a lot of things. Paul knew her spirit wasn't a godly spirit, but also Paul recognized that she was drawing attention away from the gospel being preached and was drawing it upon herself. She was a nuisance. I mean, think about it. Me and Joe went around trying to preach, and Jules back there, going like that. What's going to be the draw? Who's that woman falling around, you know, yelling all this stuff out? They're not going to hear the message. So Paul turned around and rebuked her and bound that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and that spirit came out. And you know why it came out? I don't have this verse up here, but I'll tell you why it came out. And I meant to add it, but I forgot to add it, so I'll just read it to you. Philippians 2 and 19 says this. It says, verse 9, Philippians 2 and 9. It says this, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is why the demon had to listen. because there's no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. And when that name was declared and that name was executed out of his mouth, that demon, that spirit had to obey. It didn't have a choice. It was under the command and under the power of Jesus. He is the final authority, period. So Philippians 2, 9 and 10, a good mark to put in your book to refer to. Name above every name, just like we sung in the song. Once again, we just sung that in the song, which is amazing, right? Name above all names. There's no name above that. That's why we must use that name, confess that name, and believe in that name. You know, I went to talk to someone this week at Davis who's having a major. I don't know this person. I just got called to come talk to this person, so I did. And this person has had a lifetime of battling demonic forces. And they're in a very, very dark place. And they have no hope. They have no expectations. They've lost their faith in everything, including God. And so I begin to tell this person, I said, there is no demonic force stronger or more powerful than the name of Jesus. It's important you pray. It's important you talk to God. It's important that you understand the power of that name, that it breaks the back of demonic force. It breaks the back of, she comes from a history. Her mother was a witch and a practicing witch and has tried to, we'll call it hex for a better word, hex her and her children, and has planted all kinds of things in the home, has actually made sacrifices it's out there. And this person is completely at a breaking point of having no hope and having nothing. And I brought that up to her the other day. I said, the name of Jesus is more powerful than all the darkness coming against your life. It's more powerful than all the hexes, all the blood sacrifices that other people try to put on your life, because the ultimate blood sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And he absolved all your sins and all your faults and all your failures. He secured all of your future. Try to remind this person of that, because that name is so powerful. We are living in a world where there is a force of evil constantly battling against us. If we could see, if our eyes could be open to see, it's kind of like our cells. You can't see your cells, but you know they're there, because without them you would die. We have cells in our body, but you can't see your cells. You know, you can't see your DNA, but you know what's in there. It's what gives us life. If we could, our eyes could be open and we could see behind the curtain of this fleshly rim and see what's really happening around us, we couldn't take it. We absolutely would be, we would lose it, because we don't realize the power of the dark attacks that's all around us. And that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. We confess the name of Jesus. That's why Paul had enough understanding to recognize, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out. You can't go over that name. You can't exist when that name is applied. If that name is above every name, it's above every strength, it's above every tormenting spirit, it's above every demonic attack, it's above it all, the name of Jesus. And this spirit had to obey, and it did, and it immediately came out. And it said in verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, just like when Jesus cast that demon into the pigs and they got mad at him for that, they're mad because now they've lost some of their livelihood. When the master saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The charge, what they were banking on, was we're going to arrest them for perpetrating a false religion. Because we are Romans, they are Jews, and they are preaching something that is not part of the Jewish teaching. So they were hoping that would be enough that's what they used to get them in trouble. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, talking about Paul and Silas, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I explained this to this person too this week I was talking to, because they were talking about all the trouble and God don't love them and they're only alive to suffer more. And I reminded this person of what we read in the Bible. I said, the people of God we read in our Bible, they suffered. They suffered greatly. Job suffered. Joseph, think about it. Joseph's own brothers were going to kill him. And they left him to die. Then they sold him as a slave. Then he got falsely accused of rape and spent 2 years in prison. So not fair. Suffering. We see suffering in the Bible. All 12 of the original disciples were martyred. They were purposely executed and put to death for the cause of Jesus. They were beaten. They were whipped. They were ridiculed. They were ran out of town. They were persecuted beyond anything we could ever imagine. So when we think we're going through suffering and going through times, and we all do, let's remind ourselves, look what these men went through for their faith. Man, did they suffer. They stood up. These two missionaries, Paul and Silas, are standing up in the midst of all of this attack and torment and not bowing the knee, saying, no, we're teaching Jesus. You can beat us. You can throw us in prison. Do what you want. We're teaching the gospel that we know is true. We all suffer. We all have pain. We see it here in the Bible. It is nothing new. Because we're saved, because we love Jesus, because he loves us, doesn't mean there is no suffering. But what it does mean is what the Bible says, that all the suffering of this world cannot be compared to what lies ahead. Nothing. All the suffering we could ever do, church, cannot be compared to the great reward that we're going to receive in our future. It'll be all worth it. Think about this. There's pain, sickness, trouble all around us. But to know that all of that's going to give way to a greater glory that we cannot fathom tonight because of the blood of Jesus. I can suffer to know that I'm going to gain. I'm going to suffer to know there are people that sacrifice financially to get that certain car, to get that certain home, to get that certain place they can retire, and they suffer for a while and do without sometimes to get to where they want to be. And then when they get it, it was worth the suffering. Dave Ramsey, if you know him, is a financial advisor, a Christian financial guru, and he's got a saying that says, live like nobody else so you can live like nobody else. And you're like, that don't really make sense. Oh, it makes a lot of sense. Don't try to keep with the Joneses. Be the Joneses. And the way you're the Joneses is you don't live like the Joneses. It's funny, but it's really true. He talks about that. If we know what lies ahead for us, where Mr. Gale is experiencing all the glory right now he's experiencing, do you think that heart attack, stroke, twice with cancer, loss of a child, loss of a wife, loss of friends, persecuted, ridiculed, put down, all that stuff his whole life, none of that matters now. All of that has died, and he is walking in a greater glory that we can't yet fathom, but we will one day. We will see it one day. So there's suffering, and there's pain, but we keep on singing because his grace is truly amazing, and one day we will see that grace fully as he intended us to see. We sing in the storm. We sing in our battles. We sing, church. We sing no matter what. We sing. And what I mean by sing is we don't lose our testimony. We don't lose our faith. We don't lose our word. Man, we don't lose who we are in Christ. We don't lose our identity. We don't say, God, I don't believe you no more because this has happened in my life. If all hell breaks loose in your life, it don't mean God ain't God. God is still God, as the old song says, and God don't never change. He's always God, no matter what you're battling or what you see. So keep your eyes fixed on him and keep your voice declaring his works. Joseph said, naked I came in my mother's womb and naked I'll go out. But you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what I see, I will not curse God. I will bless him, for he giveth and he taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord, for he changes not, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my God. He is my King. He is my Lord. He is my everything. And I will never stop worshiping him, because my worship's not based on where I'm at. My worship's based on who he is. Can somebody say amen in here? Glory to God. That's where we got to be at. We sing no matter what. We praise no matter what. We declare no matter what. We worship no matter what. Because God is faithful. And guess what? The plan he has for us. When Joe Brown gave his heart to Jesus when he was in his 30s, that plan is still sealed. That plan is still there. No matter what Joe has been through, there's a day that the plan of God for Joe's life, the wrapper will be undone, and Joe will see all that God has prepared for him. The hardships of Joe Brown's life, especially being married to Sharon, the hardships of Joe Brown's life does not change the plan that God has for Joe. When he says, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. You're forgiven, son. Your name's in the Lamb's book of life. And all the stuff of this world will not erase that name out of the book of life. You're in there. It is sealed to the day the seals are popped," Revelation says, "until the one that looses them. And the only one that can loose them is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name's not erased because of pain. It's not erased because of trouble. It's not erased because of where he's been. It is there forevermore." So we sing, we worship, and we praise Jesus every single day, because he's always my God, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Glory to God. We ain't got to where they sing yet. Goodness. Verse 23, "When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe." We've heard this story before, right? A few Wednesdays ago, we talked about two guys in jail. And so we see what happened to them. "We're going to bust out of here, lefty." Verse 24, "who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Here we go again. They threw them in the inner cell and they put chains around their feet to secure Paul and Silas. They didn't want them going nowhere. Look at verse 25, and this is the key verse for tonight. "As they're chained, as they're behind bars, as they're bound," it says, "and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." While they're chained, while they're bound, at the midnight hour, when everything looked hopeless, everything looked dark, when it didn't seem fair, can you imagine they're thinking in their mind, "God, we're out just preaching you. We're missionaries. We're spreading the gospel. We're doing what you call us to do. And we're arrested. We're chained. We're in this place with no hope." That didn't stop them. They begin to sing praises unto God. Their current circumstance did not change their faith in who they served. Where they were at the time didn't change the outcome of what they were supposed to do. "We're going to sing to God. We're going to worship God. He's still here and he's still God, and a cell bar don't change him, and stocks on my feet don't change him, and this jail sure ain't going to stop him. He's still God and he can do whatever he wants. And if I die in this prison, he's still God. If I'm free, he's still God. If they kill me tomorrow, he's still God. It just don't matter. He is God. He is God forevermore." And they knew that. And they sang praises at the midnight hour. When we hit the midnight hour, man, it's the last thing we want to do sometimes is sing praises to God. Our midnight hour can represent the worst part of our life. I'm sure when Marjorie lost her husband to cancer, she sure didn't feel like singing praise to God. She might have later, but not that moment. At that moment, I'm sure the first thing in her mind was, "No, I'm just going to praise you, Lord." She may have prayed for me, "No pain, no more." But she probably wasn't like, "Oh," but that was a dark time for her. It was her midnight hour. What do you do in your midnight hour? What do you do when everything is dark? What do you do when everything seems hopeless? What do you do when there's no help? What do you do when the bottom of your world falls out? What do you do when you have no more rope to hang on to, when the last bit and you're gone? What do? You sing praises unto God. You let God know, "Lord, as you were there for me, I am here for you. As you have not forsaken me, God, I will not forsake you. As you said I'll be with you always, God, I will serve you always." Because this is not a conditional type of relationship. I don't worship you based on what you do for me. I worship you because of who you are in me. I don't worship you, Lord, based on my day-to-day activities. I worship you because you're God always, and that's what I do. I'm your child and you're my father, and I trust you even in the midnight hour. I trust you even locked up in jail. I trust you even though I've been captured and caught. I trust you even though I can't see a way out. God, I'm going to trust you. And because I trust you, I can still sing those songs. "How great is our God." I'll sing to him, "How great is my God." Whether I'm in jail, whether I'm free, "How great is my God." Whether I'm sick, whether I'm healed, "How great is my God." Whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, "How great is my God." Whether I'm jobless or have the best job in the world, "How great is my God." I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it. I just got to know in whom I serve. And that is my Lord and Savior forevermore. So I sing. Oh God, I sing. I'm telling you, it's hard to stay depressed when you start singing to God, when you start praising God. Just like Mom made the challenge to primetimers to praise God, those 60 seconds will turn into 6 minutes if you let the Holy Spirit work in your life. It is amazing how when you begin to worship and sing praise to God, that you begin to see Him, and all of a sudden He elevates you out of the midnight hour. And you begin to see the sun rise again. And you see the beauty of another day. Some of you hadn't heard the birds sing in a long time, and it's time to start hearing the chirp of the bird again. Some of you haven't seen that in a while. Some of you hadn't seen the flowers bloom in a while. All you see is death all around and gloom and destruction. But it's time to start seeing the flowers bloom again. It's time to see the sun rise again. It's spring's on the way, church. Spring is on the way. We're already seeing the evidence of that. And that life is coming forth right now, just as life's going to come forth in you. Doesn't matter how long you've been dead. Don't matter how long you've been lost. Don't matter how long your midnight hours lasted. God is saying, I'm bringing you out. Begin to sing unto me now. Sing unto me praises. Trust me. Believe in me. And sing unto me and watch what will happen. The melody from your lips will deliver you from the hand of the enemy. The melody from your lips unto me, saith the Lord, will deliver you out of the hand of the enemy that you are in right now. Sing praises. Sing glory. Sing unto me and watch what will happen. For it is music to my ears. It's medicine to your soul. It will bring healing to your bones. It'll bring change to your thoughts. It'll make you walk where you couldn't walk, rise where you couldn't rise. It'll make you do things you couldn't do because it's strength to the marrow of your bones and healing to all your flesh. It is that which the Lord saith, sing unto me and watch what will happen. When you begin to sing, something changes in you because the voice that comes to me comes back upon you. Sing praises no matter what, no matter the midnight hour you're in. And they begin to pray unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It wasn't some kind of silent prayer. Oh, no. They were breaking out choir style. They weren't ashamed. They were singing. I wonder why what made them start singing. I think they were just worshiping God, saying, God, doesn't matter we're here. We're going to worship you. I want these other prisoners to know the God that I serve. And if I can sing unto you and be a witness to them, so be it. They need to hear who you are too, God. And they begin to sing. Verse 26. And suddenly, as they were singing, suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, we know what a foundation is. I would say Roger has built houses before. And I bet Roger would say one of the most important parts of a house, when you build it, is the foundation, right? Because if that foundation is not right, everything else is not right. The foundation has to be right. I'll never forget the corner of this church. You've heard me say it before. When they were building this pad for this church, making the pad, Roger, they tested all the corners, you know, PSI. Or is that what it's called? Pressure? Yeah, PSI, to make sure it measured, it met. For some reason, this corner here, they kept coming short. They had to keep packing. They come test it, pack it. This one corner seemed to be an issue. And they had to keep packing, had to keep doing something to it to get it to meet the standard. Because they realized the foundation has to be right. And you know where our problems really lie? There's a foundation for all of our problems. There's a real foundation for all the things we're fighting. We see people react. You may see Jewel at the store, and she snaps you off or something. You meet her, hey, Jewel, hey. Man, what's in her crawl? She's a bitty today. Or maybe she don't speak to you. You're like, really? But there's a deeper issue. Jewel's problem has a foundation to it. It starts in the foundation. It creeps its way up into your life. And so what the Holy Spirit does, as Barney Fife says, it nips it. Nip it in the bud. The Holy Spirit nips it in the bud. The Holy Spirit goes to the foundation. Remember Jesus used that example when he was talking to the church. Told Peter, upon this rock, this foundation, I'll build my church. Then he used another example saying that to build your house upon the rock, not the sand. Because when the winds come and the storms come, if your house on the sand, it blows away, but on the rock it shall stand. It's all about the foundation. If our foundation is in our faith in Christ, we will stand. And that's where Paul and Silas were. You think putting me in jail is going to mess up my foundation? That's okay. I'm still going to serve Jesus because the foundation's right. Because what I have and believe is real. It's not superficial, but it's solidly built. They were there. You know, Paul was there when God spoke to him and gave him 3 days of blindness, and that light shined, that voice spoke. He saw the hand of God. He saw the power of God. These disciples walked with Jesus and taught. They saw. They had a foundation no man could shake. And so here we see the prison, the foundation, the root of the problem begin to shake. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Here we go again, God making a jailbreak for his people. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. Because remember what the price was we talked about a few weeks ago. If a prison guard lost the prisoners, they were killed. They were killed. So he's going to save himself the torture and all that. He's going to kill himself because he thought they had fled, verse 27 said. But 28 says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Think about this. They began to worship first thing. As they worshiped, God moved and cut them loose. As God cut them loose, Paul remained there. They didn't flee. They stayed right there. We're here, showing the example. And then now here's the prison guard saying, what must I do to be saved? Their singing was leading a life, a family, we'll read in a minute, to salvation. The same guard watching them now was ready to receive what they were singing about. And they said, how do we get saved? Verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't believe in anything else, anyone else. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a confession to make. I was telling Randy before service about this. I worked a visitation at the funeral home this afternoon, and it was for a Catholic family. And the priest came in to the visitation room and had a couple things in his hands, and he did a little ceremony. And of course, I'm very respectful, and he's praying. At this point, he's praying to God. So I got, you know, I'm out in the hallway, but you know, I'm bowing my head, I'm being respectful. And after he prays to God, he starts praying to Mary. Well, me eyes open up then. I ain't praying no Mary. So when he said that, I just popped up. I said, I ain't praying no Mary, man. I ain't praying no Mary. It is Jesus that we pray to. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He makes intercession for us. There is no name above that name. And so when he said that, I opened my eyes. I began thinking about tonight's message, how that, you know, believe on Jesus Christ. We know Mary was a blessed and highly favored woman. We get that. She carried the Lamb of God. But she does nothing for my salvation. She is no more into my salvation than my own mother is. None. She was the vehicle that God used to bring salvation to the world. So we must be careful that we don't mix anything up here. Jesus, I believe in Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. What do we believe about Jesus, though? That's the thing, right? So when people say that, believe, okay, well, what do I believe? You have to believe that through Jesus Christ, he made the only possible atonement for our sins. That everything goes through him. That we are redeemed only through him. We are forgiven only through him. And I really, you know, when that started happening, and the priest said a few other things too, and Emmy, I'm just riding up like, oh my gosh, I wish I could take my Bible and just step in here and talk to this family for a minute. Because I so want to read Hebrews chapter 10 to them right now. Oh, if I could just read Hebrews chapter 10. Because I think they would be amazed because they don't know the word, because they don't read the word, because the word's not being read most of the time. It's pieces here and there of the word. But it's not the true doctrine of the word. And they're not getting the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And I so want to rise up and just say, oh my gosh. You know, oh my gosh. If they only knew the truth that all the sacrifice of all this stuff cannot, all, even says in Hebrews 10 that all the sacrifice of the priest could not take away sin. But this man, after he went in once and for all, obtained eternal redemption for us. Can you imagine the freedom that would be to people? Can you imagine the freedom that would set people free? You mean that Jesus Christ alone is the reason I go to heaven? Yes. It's not the nomination you're in. It's not being baptized in a nomination. It's not being, you know, membership in a nomination. It's about believing what Jesus Christ did, that he shed his blood that we might be justified and reconciled back to God. The Bible says, by no works can man be justified. By no works can man be justified. But we still see that. So here Paul was telling this jailer, believe on Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house, your family. And they spake to him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He took the same hour. Now look how things change. We talking about things changing. He took them out the same hour of the night, the jailer. He washed their stripes and was baptized, and all of his family is what it means, straightway. And he brought them into the house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. That jailer's night changed. Think about that. You're at the jail one night just, you know, watching a guard. You're sitting there reading your magazine, smoking your cigarette. Not why I pictured that. And you're watching the jailer in jail. Then all of a sudden an earthquake comes. Their bands break off. The jail door opens. They're all there. And now this jailer has bowed down and say, I recognize something's happened here. I heard you singing unto God. The jailer heard him too. What they were singing, we don't know, but it's enough to point the jailer to ask them about, how do I get saved? He was singing something that inspired the jailer to recognize they're singing to somebody, to a God I don't know. And I want to know this God because something supernatural has happened here tonight. And he went from being the jailer to guard them, to asking for salvation, to taking them out, to wiping off their stripes and cleaning them up, setting food before them, and his whole household now has been saved. All because Paul and Silas kept on singing no matter what. Understand, your singing may not even be for you. It may be for somebody else. Your singing may need to be heard by somebody else. And by singing, I don't necessarily mean just singing. I mean your voice being lifted, your testimony, your praise, your prayer, your faith, whatever it is, lifting your voice in some way to edify God, may need to be heard by someone else. So as we lift up our voice to God, God is planting seeds all around us, dropping that revelation in their hearts, stirring their spirits because you decided to lift your voice and not keep silent. Don't be a silent partner when it comes to God. Be voiced, be opinionated for singing his praises. And when it was day, the magistrates and the sergeants saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. In other words, leave town. Y'all can leave town. But I love what Paul did here. He said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned. Now, two things I didn't point out. In Rome, it was unlawful to scourge a Roman citizen. It was also unlawful not to have a trial. They had both. They just got beat against the law, and they had no trial, just got thrown in jail. In other words, they didn't have their memoranda rights read. Whatever. Miranda, thank you. See, you kind of never been arrested. Miranda rights. Paul and Silas didn't have their Miranda rights read, in other words. So he's making a point. You beat us openly, uncondemned. We wasn't even tried, found guilty, and you beat us. Being Romans and have cast us into prison, and now you want to put us out privately. Count the paper, right? Paper makes a big old, you know, mistake, right? James Lewis, pastor, charged with breaking and entering. But then it's not a true story. And on page 7C on the bottom, Pastor James Lewis declared of all right, innocent of all. Okay, hello. I walked out on the front page with my big old picture that I am innocent and I'm clear of all charges. Don't be hiding me on page 7C. This is what Paul was saying. You did it publicly in front of everybody. You made us, I mean, you embarrassed us and you were unjust to us, and now you want to sneak us out of town. He says, no, let them come themselves and fetch us out. Fetch. Oh, Paul must have been Southern. Fetch us out. And the serpents told these words. Serpents. Sorry, sergeants. Maybe they are serpents, I guess. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans, because they knew they had done messed up. They came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. So they came, they owned up, they made it right. And they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and they departed. What a story, huh? What a night. Man, what an experience. Going from just, I mean, think about it. It started out with them casting out a devil. And because they cast a devil out, they got beaten and arrested. Then an earthquake came. I mean, it's like the old saying, you can't make this stuff up, right? Cast a demon, get beat, get thrown in prison, earthquake comes, chains fall off, prison guard gets saved, and now they're departing free. And a whole family got changed because of it, because they refused to stop singing. Go back to my title page, Brandon. They sang no matter what. And that's got to be what our desire is. That should be our faith. Lord, I'm going to sing no matter what. Maybe you're not thrown in, you'll be thrown in prison, but we definitely have bars around our lives many times. The devil binds us with guilt, with shame, with fear, with torment, with anxiety, with depression, with discouragement, with hopelessness. We're bound with that. Addiction, you know, whatever. We're bound with things in our lives that we can't seem to break free from. And it may be your midnight hour. You keep calling on God. You keep declaring God. You keep praising the Lord no matter what. Sing unto him. Sing unto him. You got a closeout song? You do? I know I'm throwing out on you on Wednesday night. Come on up here, brother. We'll do a closeout song. We got 5 minutes. Let's close out with a let's do a praise song, something crazy. Something crazy. Save him a word, crazy.